This is episode number 27 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast for the week of May 26th, 2008. Coming up on this week's episode, we've got our weekly distractions, gaming news. For our feature this week, we tackle the age-old question, is the shooter genre lacking innovation? We also answer new releases, listener email, and the fantastic, with a PH, question of the week.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 27. My name is Chris Riccio, and I'm here with Jeff A. Stryker.
It's Jeff A. Stryker. Nice.
Jason Chorney.
And Jason Chorney.
Doing this so much, you're forgetting who we are.
that just gives you an idea of how tired I am right now. I actually, Jason and I had that quick discussion before you came on the call. It was like, Jason was saying that he fell asleep earlier, and I was like, you know, I did that too. I had Family Guy on, and I was just like, conk.
I love Family Guy.
So what I meant to say was Jason A. Stryker.
Yes.
And Jeff Chorney.
Word up.
How's it going, Jason? Besides the fact that you're tired.
We're off to
a fine start. Yeah. I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm all right.
All right. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing good.
You're right.
Stressful day at work today, so I'm all like stressed out. It's one of those tired days. I get home, just like, wish I could just play some games, but now I got to hang out with you guys for a couple hours.
Yeah,
and talk about the games I could be playing. Fuckers.
Yeah, we suck. That's fine.
No, I was good to be here as usual,
and I'm okay. I'm all right.
No one else.
Oh, good. I was curious,
and that's it.
Yeah,
I'm tired. So let's continue.
All right,
let's.
Boring introduction from Interactive Distractions today. So, wow. Jason, what are you playing this week?
I'm playing all kinds of crazy stuff. Grand Theft Auto 4. I didn't know that you could actually check your percentage like of completion in the game. And I'm at about 36% right now.
Ooh, you're a lot
you're failing.
Yeah, that is failing. It kind of sucks. But
gotta get it out
I'm hitting
there.
Some really, really cool missions, though. You know, like it's a.
Have you done the heat
it just
mission?
Seems a lot. What's that?
Have you done the heat mission yet?
The heat mission? Which one's that one?
I don't know. They mentioned like every review. Apparently, there's a mission where you. No spoilers here, folks. It's in every single review, so no one can get mad. That you pretty much bunch you go into and you rob a bank, and then cops come, and you got it's basically like a huge shootout.
Oh, that is friggin' epic.
So you have died.
I died at the very end of it because there was one cop that I didn't see and he was up on a ledge and I just kept getting hit and I'm like, where the hell is that coming from? And I finally saw him up above me and then it's like, boom, headshot. I was done. So then I was just frustrated. I'm like, fuck you. I'm never playing this game ever again. I'm going to go play WoW. But no, I'm still having fun with it. I'm trying to, you know, experience the whole open-endedness of it. And, you know, when people call me to hang out, I'm like, screw you. I got tookers to go kill. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, and I keep getting these like negative friendship points. I don't know. That whole thing is just annoying to me. Cause they're like constantly bugging you. They're like real life friends. Just call and want to hang out and shit. God,
that's why I felt when I got the Skype call today. It's boop, boop, boop. I'm like, fuck.
Those guys again. Man. Let's see, what else am I playing? Warhawk. We had a really, really successful Warhawk Wednesday last night. That was awesome.
It was
awesome. We had about, I think, at max, it was like 14 people or something like that. But we were all pretty even as far as like skill level is concerned. You know, it wasn't too lopsided. And there were some really, really close games.
Yeah.
Which made it extremely intense. I remember one game early on, and there was like 5 seconds left to go, and Scott Sauer, Bitch Pig, his team just went up by like 1 point at the very end. And he's like, woohoo. But little did he know at that time I was capturing a node as well. And seriously, just like a second left to go. Got one more point. It's enough to have us win.
Nice.
Exciting shit.
Yeah. I just remember him saying, I don't remember who was on his team at the time. I just remember saying, all right, now don't die.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I saw, like, almost immediately after he said that, I saw our point value go up like 2 points and I'm like, oh, somebody died. I didn't realize that Jason had caught a node. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, cool stuff. We saw some new faces too.
Yeah, John joined us. Chibi Night.
Yeah, John. He's one of our friends here in Atlanta. Yeah. We work with him over at Pocket Otaku. So, And that was actually my favorite moment of the night. Is I shot a missile at him, and I think he was in a dogfight with you at the time. But he was, you know, kind of bobbing and weaving around. And he avoided the missile, and then all of a sudden, I saw him throw on his after thrusters, his boost, and he couldn't have been more than like 30 yards from a mine. So he just jetted straight into the fucking thing.
Those mines annoy the hell out of me.
Yeah. And like the dogfight stages, that's the best way I get points. Cause I'll just like, oh look, there's the mines, and I'll just drop them places.
I always forget that until I run into like six of them a game. I'm just like, oh my God, I'll be sitting there gloating after shooting someone down, and then I'll run into one of their mines they put up. I'm like, motherfucker.
John was doing pretty good, man. John's only had the game for like a week, but, you know, he was actually doing pretty well flying that Warhawk.
Mm-hmm. So I thought so. Yeah. Actually, commended him. Commended? Is that a word? Commend. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think so. Wow. I'm tired. I'm like, yeah, CK's dodging missiles like a champ.
Yep.
He thought I was being sarcastic, but no, for real. He was doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. Way to show him that video, Jason. You bastard.
Yeah, sorry.
What video? Was there a video on how to dodge missiles or something?
Yeah.
I was leaving him alone most of the night, but, you know, every once in a while I'd see him. I'm like, what the hell? You know?
Okay. What exactly are the pro flight controls? I don't know if I use them or not.
If the pro flight controls, if you, move the right stick, you know, instead of actual looping you, it will, actually adjust the pitch of the Warhawk.
Okay. So instead of just holding right or down, it won't automatically go into a loop or whatever.
Right. It'll actually adjust the pitch of the Warhawk instead.
Okay.
I don't think it's a little more control.
Way. Yeah.
As if you were a pro or something.
Yes. I hear you. I'll miss this also, week, but I'll be on next week for sure.
I hope so. Seriously.
Missed it.
Yeah, it's kind of our deal, Jeff. You gotta, show up sometime.
I know.
Oh shit, that was this week? Oh no.
Oh, forgot about that.
Let's see, also on the PS3, the store was updated today. A whole lot of crap on there, and really just crap. They had some PSP demos, and you know, I don't know. The one thing that I did get was the Pixel Junk Monsters soundtrack.
Oh.
Which I thought was really cool.
Who gives a shit?
Hey, that's fine, man. You can not give a shit.
I'm kidding. I don't even know what the soundtrack is. I played the demo.
I give double shit. You played the demo, though, so.
I did.
I mean, it's not the, you know, I don't know. It's good background music. I mean, it's $3, 24 tracks, range anywhere from like, you know, a minute to a minute and a half, somewhere over two. I think one of them is like 7 seconds. It's like the end one. But, $3, 24 tracks, and there's no DRM. Which is really cool.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
It's a little clunky downloading it. So you download it like a normal demo, and then you've got to install it, and then you've got to boot up the game, and then you have to actually install it to your hard drive again.
What?
To put the tracks in your music folder. It's weird. There's some loops to jump through. I mean, it doesn't take long, but...
Yeah, it's just kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, at the end of it all, you know...
Makes you go,
It's DRM-free. It's $3. Good tunes. I said, get it. I think it's really cool that they're doing this. Because I love video game soundtracks. So this is a nice little bonus for me.
Cool. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a video game soundtrack I actually want to buy. Like, there's a bunch of songs and games. Like, that's pretty cool. But I can never really... Well, I guess I've never really tried to listen to them doing anything else besides playing the game. So.
Yeah. I've got a ton of stuff. I listen to a lot of my Phantasy Star stuff. Metal Gear. And I've actually been listening to the Devil May Cry 4. Soundtrack an awful lot lately.
Oh, nice.
Which is pretty neat. Like the actual soundtrack, not the one that was bundled in with the collector's edition, because, you know, that's bullshit.
That's terrible, yeah.
Yeah.
The only one I have, the one that came with the what's it called? Castlevania Portrait of Ruin one.
Oh,
came
yeah.
With
yeah.
The extra thing. That's pretty cool.
I need to find that. That's around here somewhere.
Moving on from PS3 onto the 360, I played more Dark Sector, and, you know, that game's still fun as hell. I'm about halfway through. The environments haven't changed too much in the past few levels, but I don't know. The combat is still just so much fun. I love throwing a glaive.
Yeah.
I just can't get over that. So I think I'm going to play that one all the way through. I hope so anyway. Mm-hmm. I hope I don't get too sick of it, but I'm still pissed off that the whole melee combat is just really, really weak to
Ridiculous.
Me. That's like the big blemish. Aside from that, because it's shooter week, I tried out Team Fortress 2, and I really do love this game. I love the art style. I love the humor in it, and I love the simplicity of it. And I hate the controls. I just can't. Yeah, I can't do the controller bit. I have such a hard time with it. So I immediately went back to the PC because I've got the orange box on there through Steam. And I did a little bit better. Now, bear in mind, I'm a very antisocial online gamer, and I get very intimidated by shooters like this. And
yeah,
but I actually, I made a concerted effort to hop in and at least get my ass kicked a few times, which I did.
Those maps are so confusing, I find.
They are at first, yeah. I mean, I forgot how many there are. There's like, what, four or something?
I think it's four or five, yeah.
Yeah, but I still love just like watching in spectate mode. It's so much fun. Hmm.
I still need to try that out. I haven't done that one yet.
But yeah, that game, I got killed a few times and got frustrated. I'm like, fuck this, I'm playing WoW. So
everything's fucked this, I'm playing WoW.
Yeah, really.
Screw this, I'm playing WoW.
No, I played an awful lot of that over the weekend, actually. So
did you cheat on your
guild? That's good, considering it's shooter week.
Did you cheat on your guild members?
No. I mean, I made a couple alts on that server instead of playing them, and really they're just like gatherers, so they're just getting money from my other characters. It works for me.
Fair enough.
backlog stuff. I did set aside some time on Tuesday, and my first backlog game is Metal Gear Solid 3. Because I'd only played it for, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 minutes when it first came out, and I don't know what happened, but yeah. I did get into some gameplay, and I think I saw that he kind of not bounced around, but he walked around like a bunny. You know, he's got the limp wrists and stuff, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? This is Snake. He's a badass. He's not a bunny. The fuck? So I think I put it down. But yeah, I made a post about this in the forums, and I'm a little disappointed in the dialogue. I don't want to get into it too much because I'm still a little miffed about it, but I don't know. It's really grating to me. And, I understand the whole tongue-in-cheek, and I understand the cheese, and I don't know. Well, I think it's just written poorly.
Yeah, there's a difference between being tongue-in-cheek and kind of cheesy, but there's also a difference of talking to the audience like we're dumb. Or like to nail a point across. Like when I get to my backlog too, I'm playing some of the Metal Gear Solid stuff, and I'm just like, I don't remember it being this, like, I don't want to say elementary, but just kind of, I don't know, obvious maybe.
They do a lot of hand holding, I guess, to a certain degree. I think especially in this one, as far as like trying to hold your hand through the conversation, because it's tough because they throw a lot of these, just just like Russian names and foreign cities, and it's like, am I supposed to absorb this somehow? so they kind of hold your hand, and in that they tend to repeat themselves an awful lot, which was, a huge gripe for me, because, you watch one scene and they explain something, and then Snake's always like repeating what was just told to him, and then you go to another scene and then they explain the whole thing to you again, and I'm like, I just watched this 5 minutes ago, why are you telling me? I don't get it. So in my forum post, I think I likened it to like a dry rub on a tenderloin. That's how they're massaging this into my brain. I'm like, get the fuck out of there. Just go on with this. But
that's funny.
All in all, I'm still digging the humor, and there's still the quirky stuff. I really love that.
How far am I? Yeah.
I'm about 3 hours in, but 2.5 hours of that is storyline.
Exactly. Tell you a little story here, then I'll ask you a question about it.
Okay. No, the quirky stuff is still there. I walked into one area where I saw this little rubber tree frog and I shoot it and it squeaks. It's like, it's completely out of place. It's completely ridiculous and absurd. But it's just funny, cause it's so out of place. I love that shit. And the whole series is just littered with stuff like that. So that's why it's near and dear to my heart, but yes. It's good to see that they still have it in this one. So I'll keep sticking through it. Anyway, on with your question.
I was going to ask you if you got to the part where it's roughly, I'm guessing, 3 to 4 hours in of entire game, not just gameplay, because you'd be done the game at that point. But it's, you go to like, I know you cross this bridge and you get to this part where there's kind of like a little, I don't want to say little, I guess like a colony, not like a little setup, and you have to go into it and you have to get someone. I can't remember if you have to rescue someone in there or get some kind of piece of information.
You have to rescue someone.
The witch, sorry?
Yeah, you have to rescue someone in there.
Yeah, and that part, I think that's what maybe put the game down when I first tried to play it, because the other Metal Gear Solids had the whole vision cone thing. And
yeah, the radar.
Like, well, yeah, like on the radar, but this 3 doesn't have that.
Correct.
So yeah. I'd never know which way the enemy's facing or anything, so I'd just be like, okay, I think he's facing the way, so I'd start walking, saying, oh man, he's got me, and they come and kill my ass, and mm-hmm. I'm one of those guys who tries to do things like the way it's supposed to, like try to get in, sneak through there, kind of like break their necks or whatever, suffocate them, but that part, that early in the game, drove me nuts, because I'm like, I'm not used to Metal Gears being where, because the first one I played, of course, was without the whole camera, the new camera, so you mm-hmm. couldn't, there's no way to tell which way the guards were facing, so it was like this, it was like pure fluke. I'm like, okay, I'll just try running now. And
yeah,
it just drove me nuts.
Yeah, that's well, not it's not a gripe of mine, but it was intimidating because I was used to the radar in the other games. And I know I've read somewhere that this is how Kojima prefers it. Like, this is how he intended it. You know, is without the radar. Yeah, fuck him.
Who cares what he wants?
Well, you get a radar in this one eventually, but you just can't use it the whole time. It's like you have a battery limit or something.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I guess.
And they also give you other things like directional mics and stuff like that. I mean, they try and help you, you know, but mm-hmm. ultimately, yeah, it's not the same old radar that you're used to, which does kind of suck. But it forces you to play the game a little bit differently, and it's a lot more intense.
Yeah.
You know, when you're sneaking through the bushes and stuff, and like there were quite a few oh shit, oh fuck moments, mm-hmm. you know, that I had where, you know, I thought the guy was looking another way, but yeah, he just caught me out of the corner of his eye, and you know.
Because you didn't change your camouflage correctly or something.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I love the series, and I'm going to stick with it. So I'll report back later with new findings.
Sounds good.
That's my week, kids.
Nice.
Cool. Jeff?
Started off the week playing some Mario Kart Wii on the Wii, obviously. I like it. Like, I love the Mario Kart series. My favorite by far is still the DS version. The Wii version is still fun, but I think they put a little bit too much emphasis on items and stuff in this one. Yeah. And it's less about the skill at the actual game. Because there's a few races where both I was in last place or I was in first place. And last lap, halfway around the lap, or sometimes one point I was like almost to the finish line, got hit with like three or four, like basically you're fucked items. And then it puts me right in like last place or something. And I just, you know, cursing up a storm, whatever. I guess they kind of did that to kind of hit the audience that they have now. Of course, the more casual market who aren't really used to it. Plus, they added in the wheel, which I tried, which I didn't really like at first. I didn't want to put the time in to get used to it, so I just went right to the Wiimote and nunchuck. So I can see, I guess they figured they got to make the game a little bit easier to compensate for the amount of oversteering you're going to be doing with that wheel at first. But it's still good. I still like it. I haven't played too much of it, but I'd say right about now it's not quite as good as the N64 version. But better than the GameCube version. And I still think DS is the best one in the series so far, anyway. Yeah, I love the DS one. I think it's almost perfect.
Hey, just question. Did you try out the bikes at all?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
And they're just like the go-karts, except for you can pop wheelies whenever you want with the... Well, I was using the Wiimote and nunchuck, so you just pull up on the Wiimote and your cart will do like a wheelie. And it gives that effect like it is going faster. I don't really know if it is, or if it's just kind of giving that kind of like blur effect or whatever, but it gives you a little bit of a boost. But the problem is with that, you can't turn while you're doing it. So kind of a give and take thing. But they're all right, I guess. But I didn't see really any difference between them and the go-karts besides that one little detail. Like, they controlled pretty much exactly the same. If you took out that wheelie, they were the same.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. PS3. Did I play anything on the PS3? No, I didn't play anything on the PS3. 360, I played a little bit of Gears of War with Chris a couple days ago. We played some co-op.
Yes.
Gears played through the entire first act, which is still fun. I still think that game is one of the best co-op experiences anyway. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was actually my first experience with co-op, and it was a blast.
Yeah, it's good times. It's fun. He had to rescue me a bunch of times because I always think I'm Rambo in every first-person shooter or third-person shooter I play. Even though you're supposed to be like popping, I'm like, I'm just going to go in there and chainsaw the hell out of everyone. And next thing you're like, Chris, I'm down.
Meanwhile, I'm in the back in like cover, like picking people off from a distance. And all of a sudden I see Jeff just like kind of take off. I'm like, dude, where are you going? Chris, I'm dead.
It's like that Leroy Jenkins video.
Or
Jeff Hardy!
Exactly. Running in there. But it was fun. We got through it. We got through the first act, which is longer than I remembered it being, but it was a lot of fun. Yeah. What else did I play? A little bit of Rock Band, of course. That's pretty much it for 360. And then PSP actually busted out Final Fantasy Crisis Core again. Not because it's on my backlog, just because I was actually just wanted to play it. And I played it for about 10 minutes. Then realized, I still don't really not like it any better than I did last time I put it down.
The slot machine came playing. Up once and I was like, fuck this shit.
Exactly. And then actually picked up Logan Shadow, Siphon Filter Logan Shadow again.
Oh, yeah.
And played a level and a half base. I still really like that game. I don't know why I stopped playing that one, actually. But I think I'm going to... That's going to be
God of War and
my
Crisis Core
list
came
now.
Out.
Sorry?
Because God of War and Crisis Core came out.
Yeah, most likely was. I think pretty much. Mm-hmm. Then my backlog, I kind of added to my backlog. So I kind of made my list bigger, even though we're trying to shorten this thing down. So that was like my first mistake. Because originally I was going to... Like the whole Metal Gear Solid 4 hype is really hitting me now. And I remember telling you guys I wasn't huge into the series because I never played 3. And I loved the first one. To death. Mm-hmm. I was really hyped for the second one, but for some reason when the third one came and went, I didn't care for it at all. I don't know what happened because I liked 2. I just didn't care for 3 because I know I didn't have a PS2 at the time when 3 came out, but still even when I didn't have a system and a good game was coming out, I'd still be like, oh man, I need to play it, but I never had that feeling for 3. And then when I tried to play 3, I was kind of disappointed or I just wasn't used to that type of game at the time. So I went out and bought the Metal Gear Solid Essentials Collector's Edition thing.
Mm-hmm.
Basically 1, 2, and 3, so I decided I'm going to try to play through all 3 of them before 4 comes out. So I've been playing Metal Gear Solid, the original one, on PlayStation. So it's surprisingly, it still kind of holds up. I mean, the graphics are kind of blah, and they're really, really dated, but you can kind of see exactly the roots of Metal Gear, which I really like. Like, it's the first type of game where it's that cinematic, and you kind of see how they really haven't changed the series at all that much, because right away I was like, okay, I kind of remembered what to do, and certain things like the control and stuff have pretty much stayed the same. I really hate that, and I'm really happy at the same time that Kojima did decide to put in the first person view in the other ones, because it doesn't really have, well, you can't shoot in first person view in the first one.
Right.
So that's kind of annoying, and it kind of puts every little scene you're in as more of like a puzzle game, which is kind of cool. You have to like memorize the patterns of the dark guards and stuff. But yeah, it's still cool. One funny thing I thought though, you know, did you guys play the original?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Many, many times, yes.
You know, when you first meet Meryl, then you meet that one guy, the weapons dealer dude, and before he dies, he tells you to contact her, and he's like, oh, I forget her frequency, but you can find it on the back of the CD case.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember, I was like, oh, that's right, they put the thing on the back of this PlayStation case to kind of prevent piracy. And then, so I was like, oh, hey, maybe we put it on the back of this case. Of course, I'm looking at it, I'm like, no, it's not there. I'm looking in the manual, I'm like, I can't find it. I'm like, are you kidding me? So, of course, I had to go online to... frequency,
yeah,
which that was pretty funny.
The funny thing is, it's on the back of Twin Snakes too. If you have the Twin Snakes version,
yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
no.
It's actually on the back of the GameCube box too.
Really, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I wasn't on that one, but yeah, I'm surprisingly really liking it. I'm only a few hours in, and I'm pretty sure that game's a lot shorter than I remember it. Because all the main parts I'm remembering, I've done a few of them. Like, how much more is there to this game? But yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll be done by the end of the weekend anyway. The rate I'm going.
And it's been, I don't know, you can probably burn through in about like 4 or 5 hours. We used to do it like after bar close some nights, you know, we'd get all looked up and then come home. We had nothing to do. It's like MGS. We just we'd tear through it.
That's without watching any of the cutscenes and stuff, obviously, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I'm still watching them all because I'm like, this story's actually pretty cool. And then, but like you said, the dialogue is just, in some places, is god-awful.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, 3's not as bad as... Or 3's a lot worse, actually, than the first two games. I mean, it was always kind of cheesy. It's just not this bad. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the first lines, I was just watching the intro, and they're like, who am I going up against here? And they're like, Liquid Snake, the guy with the same call sign as you. I'm just like, oh, God, it's so cheesy. Yeah. You mean his call sign is Snake? Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
I just remember seeing that part over and over again when it first came out in Japan, because we got it at the store that I worked at.
Oh, God.
And it was like the snake always had an "uh" at the end, so it's a snake, you know, and and liquid snake was like kakito snake. That's the only thing I remember about watching the Japanese one was every time I saw that I was like kakito snake or something like that. It was funny.
That's awesome. But yeah, that's pretty much it. But I don't know why I'm so hyped for 4. And I wasn't hyped for 3, and now I'm so hyped for 4. It's not even funny. Like, this might be one of the most, like, it's up there with the top 5 most hyped games I've been this generation. I can't wait.
Good.
It's ever since I watched that 10-minute video that they posted on all the sites, like, last week.
Yeah, I didn't watch that yet. I'm kind of trying to avoid it, because I don't want
to... I told myself not to, but then everything I read basically says, it's what you see in all the trailers, plus a little bit, because it's typical Metal Gear Solid. It's like 10 minutes, but literally you're only watching about 2 minutes of actual gameplay, and that's not even an exaggeration.
Right.
But the way it's done is so well done. It's you got to watch it, Chris. Or don't watch it and wait till it comes out, but it's good.
Game comes out in a few weeks.
Yeah, it does.
Well, cool. I'm glad you're excited.
I'm very excited.
Okay. Yeah, I need to get through part 3.
Nice. So right now my backlog's new backlog stuff. So basically Metal Gear 1, 2, and 3 by June 12th. I think I can do it.
By June 12th?
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
It is.
We'll see what you say next week.
Sorry?
We'll see what you say next week.
Yeah. Well, if I get through 1 this weekend, I'm pretty sure I can get through 2 in about a week. Because I remember going through 2, I borrowed off somebody because I didn't have a PlayStation 2 at the time either. I borrowed from someone in a weekend. I beat it pretty much in a weekend, so.
Hmm.
Cool.
Chris?
All right. Well, PS3, I played a little bit more GTA 4. Not that much. You guys are way farther than me. I don't even think I'm at like 10 or 12% yet. So.
Dude, I don't know. I haven't played the game in a long time.
Yeah,
you're still way past me. It's been at least a week and a half, 2 weeks.
But the game is still good. It's just that, you know, I don't know, man. Maybe it's just like the open world thing, and it doesn't. It's like the game seems less goal oriented for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm less inclined to play it. That might be it. But you know, I need to go back and play it some more.
Yeah.
As Jason said, Warhawk, last night was a lot of fun, and I actually felt like I wasn't getting my ass handed to me by everyone who turned a corner, so that was nice.
You were bitching at the sow, though, a little bit.
Was I?
You were getting a little heated. You're like, I guess I'm just not as fast as everybody else out there.
No, it's he's killer with those binoculars, man, and it's like I see the beam come at me. Yeah. And, you know, shit, and I try and take off and run, and it doesn't work. It's like, as soon as that beam hits you, it's like you're dead. Forget it.
What exactly is this? Is this some of the new stuff that was released, or no?
The monoculars? No, they've been around for a while. I have no idea what they even do. I've never actually used them.
You pinpoint a location with your laser sight on the binoculars, and it triggers like an airstrike.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Friggin' fast.
Yeah, really fast. So it's like every time, and he hit me with him probably once or twice at least, but, you know, and that's kind of where I wasn't getting heated. I was joking around, and it was one of those things where it's like as soon as I saw that laser, I was taken off in the other direction, and I got like at least 4 or 5 steps away, and I still died. I was like, good God. It's like you can't get away from this thing. But yeah, I don't know. I still suck at it, but I'm still having fun now, so that's good. Yeah.
His binoculars suck. He's even got a catchphrase now, too. I forgot what it was. Like, sooner or later, the sow.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time before the bitch pig gets you with the binocs. I'm like,
yeah, there we go.
Dude, Scott, stop. Just stop, dude, please.
I hope he doesn't say that every time he's going to use it. That would just get
it. I don't know. I think
he said
it like
3 or 4 times.
I think he said it once, and you know, I think he liked it, and then kept going with it.
Yeah, and then he actually posted a post on the forum saying it, and I'm like, Scott, just stop, please.
Nah, go for it, dude.
Let's see, 360. I played some more Blue Dragon. Got a little farther in the story. It's starting to pick up a little bit, but it's still not great. You know, it's
still on disc 1.
What's that?
Again, disc one still?
Yeah, I'm still on disc one. I've got four of the characters now out of the, I think there's five, right? Or something.
I have no idea.
Yeah. The story's picking up, but it's still just kind of bland so far. So, and my goodness, if it's not a cheese fest. I mean, it's, the dialogue is just freaking horrible. But, you know.
It's like a theme.
What's that?
It's like a theme today.
Terrible dialogue. Everything we're playing is like horrible dialogue. And speaking of horrible dialogue, I played Gears of War, which we talked about earlier.
Exactly.
But
anyone play Haze?
Yeah.
More on that later.
for my backlog, I figured I'd kill two birds with one stone. So I picked up Orange Box and played some more Half-Life 2. Progressed a little bit. The game is really good, but it's, I don't know, something about the control is just wacky. Because it's like, all right, you have to hit X to jump on a ladder, but then depending where you're looking, up might be down. Right. So you might push up, and you might go down the ladder. And then you might look a different
direction.
If you're
like looking down.
Huh?
If you're like, yeah, it'll go in the direction that you're facing.
It's hard to, you know, it doesn't register at first, but it's moving forward. When you push up, you move forward. Even if you're on a ladder, you're still, if you're looking down the ladder and you push up, you're going down the ladder.
Right. It goes in the direction that you push. And that's actually pretty typical of shooters, you know, especially on PC.
I guess I just haven't noticed it, but,
okay.
Yeah, but the game is good. I'm enjoying it, and the story is picking up. I got to the land boat on Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
That's where I am right now. So I'm not real far into it. I only got to put like an hour into it before Jeff came on and said, "Hey, let's play Gears." And I'm like, "All right, cool." but you know, I'll get back to it at one point or another. But that's it. That's really all I played this week. I haven't had that much on my list.
Not bad. Well, we got some backlog stuff taken care of. That's cool.
Yeah, and I want to try and continue to do that. It's been, you know, a lot of people posted on that forum, and you know, by the way, if you guys didn't see the forum is actually called Collecting Dust, not Backlog Support Group or whatever. So look for that on VG Evo. But a lot of people seem to pick up, you know, older games and start playing them. So you know, I'd say it's pretty successful so far.
The hard part's the support part. It's only been a week, so of course everyone's like, "Yeah, let's do this." You know, it's like when everyone gets a gym membership for the first time for Christmas or New Year's, and they're like, "All right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go four times a week." And after like the first 2 weeks, they're like, "Yeah, whatever."
Yeah, so now it's just a matter of whether we can stick to it or not.
We got to organize a little bit better too. You know, I'm trying to think of a way that we can track all of this. You know, whether it be like a spreadsheet or just a table in one of the forum posts or something. I don't know. We'll figure something out, but. Yeah, we can't, I don't know. It's just it kind of disorganized right now, but at least we're getting people in there.
Yeah.
Everything will sort itself.
Phase two is underway.
Exactly. Great video, by the way, Jason. That was hilarious.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
That was well done.
You know, Nero is a whiny bitch.
Who directed that? Was that Bruckheimer or what?
I had him as a, you know, consultant, you know.
I figured that or Spielberg, kind of like, I couldn't really tell.
Yeah,
it was well
me
done.
And him kind of had a falling out, though.
Oh, and who was the actor? That was Leo, right?
Yeah.
Was it? Okay.
little known fact and kind of an inside joke. I probably shouldn't even do it, but the music that was in it was actually from Devil May Cry 4.
No, was it?
Funny.
Yeah.
Lawsuit!
Go. Bring it on.
And we're not going to be around next week, guys, so this will be our last show.
Well, cool.
Well done.
Jeff, what's going on this week in the industry?
In the industry? Well, some pretty big news for PS3 owners. This is something that people pretty much saw coming at least a year ago, and then rumors kind of died down, and then they started right back up about 2 weeks ago, and it's become official. BioShock has been confirmed for the PS3. This was released because EGM, next month's EGM, cover story is actually Gears of War 2, but they're releasing, they had the announcement in there, and they cover it for a bit. No real information, except for the fact that it's supposed to be coming this holiday season with touched-up graphics, and that's really it. They didn't say anything about new content or anything like that, or any kind of exclusivity to the PS3 version. But I'm pretty sure it's safe to assume that they're going to get all the downloadable stuff that the 360 version got.
Yeah,
by all
so.
Of it, I just mean that one little pack they released.
Yeah, with the new plasmids, right? The
plasmids and stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's coming. Infinite Undiscovery, the game published by Square, actually made by Treyarch Studios.
With the retarded 360. Name.
Yeah, it's probably one of the dumbest names in video gaming history. But it does look good. The latest video they showed, I'm not sure if you guys watched it, but it looks pretty impressive. Besides the, I think it was you, Chris, or it might have been Jay, I can't remember, who made a comment how they say their special moves before they do them.
Yeah, that was
That's
me.
Something that kind of annoys me, too, in role-playing games. I'm like, oh, it's so annoying.
My favorite was marching feet. Awesome. Marching feet! That's great. That's the dumbest move ever.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. But it looks pretty cool, and it's going to be released on September 2nd, which I don't know about you guys, but I thought that was pretty decent timing, because first I thought it was going to be next year, if anything.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't think it was going to be ready this year. And that's because you're an RPG, all you RPG people out there, something to look forward to, if it's good, because, again, it is a Square game that's not Dragon Quest or Final Fantasy, so who knows how
so you never know if it's going to be good or not.
Exactly. More games having release dates. Here's a game that's been delayed again. Splinter Cell Conviction for the 360 has been delayed till fall 2009 or possibly even spring 2010. Reasons being that Ubisoft said was that the whole game, for those who don't know, the whole game takes place. You're basically on the run as Sam Fisher, and a lot of it takes place in like cities and towns where it's supposed to be highly populated, and you're supposed to be kind of like blending in with the crowds. They said that it wasn't on par with that of Assassin's Creed that was released, of course, last fall, and they might just have to actually just start from scratch because there's just things that weren't going the way they planned, which I thought was funny because Assassin's Creed did it decently, but I didn't think it was like... From videos I saw Conviction, I was like, wow, Conviction's actually doing it better, but apparently not. And bad news for all you Splinter Cell fans out there. I was looking forward to this, because usually every second Splinter Cell is really good, and this would have been the second one, because Chaos Theory was amazing, Double Agent was okay, and then this was going to be like the next one. And so, yeah.
Is this just opinion? Like, it's every second one that's good?
Well, it pretty much critically, too, if you look at scores. Like, the first Splinter Cell did really well. Pandora Tomorrow... Single player wise was kind of like got okay scores. If the multiplayer is really good, and then Chaos Theory was like amazing scores. That's one of the highest rated games actually. And then Double Agent was kind of meh. So just if they go, because the reason why is because like we were talking before we started recording, we had the whole thing about which I can't say shit. So we're gonna have to cut this part out. I was gonna mention the whole BioShock 2 thing, which okay. Yeah. So I'll take it up from.
38 okay, yeah, minutes. Okay,
as we were discussing before about games, and they kind of get outsourced to other parties, they kind of might go down in quality, and that's what Ubisoft did with the Splinter Cell. The first one was made by Ubisoft Montreal, second one was made by Ubisoft, where was it? Shanghai, I think, and then the other one, Chaos Theory, Montreal, the other one, Shanghai, then this one's going to be Montreal again. So, and of course, Ubisoft Montreal is the really good developer. They're the ones who did, like, all the really good Ubisoft games, Prince of Persia and, Splinter Cell. I think they're Rainbow Six, too. But, yeah, you get the point.
Yeah.
You get
that's
the
cool.
drift.
That's cool.
Xbox and Xbox Live arcade games are going to have an increase in the storage again to 350 megs now.
Mm-hmm.
It seems this is just like a trend. It seems whenever there's games that are coming out, they always have an issue with them. They end up upping the space and upping the storage. And this time, they haven't really announced any game that's going to need it. No one's come out and said, hey, this is stopping us from putting out the game. But they all of a sudden came out with this announcement. So I guess something along the lines are going to be bigger than that. And I guess Soul Calibur is coming to Xbox Live Arcade. And I figured that would have to be bigger than, what was the standard before, 250, 200?
It was 150 at one point, right? I think they upped
it. And it was 150, then they upped it for Castlevania. Yeah.
Well, it was 50 at first, wasn't it?
Well, Soul Calibur's not going to be an arcade game, though. That's one of the like Xbox originals, right?
No, right? It's going to be
Calibur?
Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, it's Xbox Live Arcade. It's the Dreamcast version.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So who knows, but I guess that's good. Some people from Microsoft said they don't want it to get it too out of hand. They want it to be able to have the games they want on there, but they don't want to get to the point where companies are making bigger games just to throw on there. That's going to offer, because they want it to be little games that you can just pick up and play, and you can put it on a memory card, or also give independent developers a chance to kind of stand out. Whereas if they kind of keep going higher and higher, developers are going to take advantage of it. And here come these $15, $20 games that are going to take attention away from the smaller games. So I guess they kind of have a point. They kind of have a cap on it somewhere. But I mean, if enough people want these games and they're going to be bigger, then they kind of really have no choice, right? Especially if they can release games on competition.
Well, they don't have a memory card that holds that yet, do they?
Yeah, they've got a 512.
They do?
512, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't use them, so.
At least a 512. They might even have a gig, but anyway.
Possibly. More Microsoft news. You guys might have heard the story. It was within a week. An Xbox Live member by the name of Richard Gaywood.
Oh, jeez.
Had his name on Xbox Live as Richard Gaywood. And anyone out there knows Dick is short for Richard, so they could also be called Dick Gaywood. Anyway, someone apparently complained about this to Microsoft. Well, give us a chance to giggle at all this, okay? Get it out of our systems.
No.
Right. I'm done. Go ahead.
I'm good.
So someone actually complained to Microsoft, and they turned around and contacted this guy and basically said, you're going to have to change your name. They're not going to charge him for it, of course, but of course, now he's in an uproar saying, this is actually my legal name. On his birth certificate, says Richard Gaywood. You know, what's the deal? But Microsoft's saying, well, listen, Nick, we can't have, I guess, the word gay in your name, because I guess that would be offensive to some people.
People are offended.
Yeah.
That's retarded. Well, apparently some people were, or at least
you
one
can
person
get
was.
As pissed as you want. Who uses their real name online anyway, unless they're trying to stir up shit?
Well, that's the thing. Like, he obviously knew. Yeah. Would get like a laugh. And I don't know about you guys. If I was ever on Xbox Live and I saw someone with that name, I would piss my pants laughing. I'd be like, that is hilarious. Like, I would not think for a second. If he said, no, seriously, that's my real name, I'd be like, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
That's not your real name. So I guess Microsoft's looking at it like, hey, we can tell this guy to change it, or we can tell this person who complained to go eat our left nut, but then chances will someone else will complain too. So kind of sucks to be that guy for more than one reason, I guess, but hey. Other news, if anyone listened to our show last week,
I did.
Board member Aces High proposed a bet to the Indus crew.
Oh god.
And
boy.
About Haze, saying if it averages above 75% or higher, that we'd have to make a commercial saying how great Haze is.
Yes.
Well, this just in. Haze is now sitting at an average of 56% on Metacritic and 56-something% on Game Rankings with a number of reviews. Yeah, that did a lot worse than I actually thought it was going to. I was actually worried that Haze would do somewhere between 75 and 80. Uh-huh. And I thought we might have overshot on that one. But I don't think anything. Sorry, go ahead.
I said, what do you mean we? This was all you, man.
I guess it was mainly me. So that would be
primarily Jason make a commercial. I just arbitrarily throw out a number here. I don't know.
75, exactly. Just whatever. Throw something out there. But yes, it is 56%. Pretty much nothing can save it now. Even if like six more of these come out all at tens, it still would not raise the average to 75.
Yeah.
So I guess it's pretty.
Did you do the math, Jeff? Are you sure about that?
I didn't do the exact math, but just to be safe, we'll give it another week and see what happens. So Aces, if you want to go write your own review and somehow get it published, get it on there, go for it. Give it a 12 out of 10. That might help it a bit.
If you're not ready to concede, we get to call you Hillary for the next week.
Just remember that your end of the bet was we get to rag on you and give you a hazing.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, I had to.
The comments made by Jeff on the Interactive Distractions podcast do not necessarily reflect.
Yes.
We didn't tell
anyway,
him
so
that.
We'll give it another week, see what happens. Right now it's at 56, and I'm pretty sure that's conclusive. But we will see.
This all following
from now on,
we
need a better indicator. Like, if Nabo likes it,
oh,
no
God.
Good. Or vice versa.
Exactly.
Just saying. Okay. All right.
All of this following a bet that Jeff made and lost.
That's a totally different story. And I lost by barely. Hey, if you were shooting like an over-under, that would have cleared it. Well, actually, this wouldn't have, but it was very close. We talked about this last week. I lost by 0.1 something of the number I threw out. That's barely a loss. But it is a loss, and I'll accept it. All right. Which is why I will gloat about this one. this is also awesome news, guys. I was very excited when I saw this. We all like our video games. Pretty sure you guys too.
Well, right? Most of them. Some of them. Not really.
Most of them.
Well, I only play video games because I have to do this podcast.
It's a job.
That's right.
Well, here in Canada, we like our games, and we also like these. We have these things called cell phones. You guys might have heard of them. A cell phone, Jason. Like, you can walk around, take this little mobile device with you anywhere you go, and you can make a phone call to anywhere in the world, but you have to watch it because there could be roaming charges depending on where you are, and you'd be charged up the ass by a service provider of choice, sometimes not by choice. Sometimes you get locked into a contract for many years, and you want to get out of it, and you can't, and you're pretty much owned by them for the remainder of the contract.
I've heard stories, yeah.
You've heard stories. Mm-hmm. Well, EA has just announced that they have purchased one of the leading developers of mobile games. So you can combine gaming with these mobile devices.
Whoa.
What? Yeah. Mind-blowing, isn't it?
Quite.
But
don't the batteries die real quick then?
You know what? We'll have to find out. I would say so, because I get about an hour and a half out of my cell phone.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kind of exaggerating. But some of them are terrible. But they purchased Hands On Mobile Korea. They developed some role-playing games.
Did they?
Out in Korea.
Korea.
And but now EA has bought them out to, I guess, kind of get some money out of that market. So,
wow.
So, yeah, Korea, really big for mobile games.
Interesting. I can look forward to mobile RPGs made by EA.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
And they'll be good. Because mobile gaming is huge in North America.
Oh, yeah. I have like 18 games on my phone. I have an Engage.
Do you really?
No, I don't.
Okay. I think you actually bought one.
I want an Engage.
But yeah. But no, seriously, this is only a big deal in Korea. So, I mean, it's right. Only fitting, right, that that people in North America would simply say,
Who gives a shit?
Yeah. That was probably one of our best ones.
You think?
Was it?
In terms of yeah, we were pretty sick in that one. The harmony was really off. Really? Maybe you were just off, Jason.
We should switch up tones. We should have like one of us do a bass and one of us do a
hello, soprano. Hello, yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Anyway,
we'll try that for next week. Add a little spice because we're so tired. This is ridiculous. I wonder if this is going to pass out when people are listening, like how boring we are right now.
I am. I mean,
they're probably sleeping. Ooh. So I don't know.
Yes. Well, that was the news. That was all of it. All.
Thank you, Jeff.
Unless there's anything you guys want to add in that I missed.
I don't think so. No. Jeff lost a bet. That's it.
I won a bet.
He won a bet after he lost a bet.
I didn't. Yes. Okay.
All right. Cool. All right. Let's take a break. Try not to fall asleep, and we'll come back and we'll talk about
shooters,
and we'll talk about new releases, and we'll talk about emails, and then we'll talk about going to sleep.
Oh, we still have a feature, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Oh shit!
All right.
We can do this, guys.
Let's get pumped. We'll go drink a Red Bull. Let's do it. Whew. Red Bull and vodka. We'll be good.
Sweet.
I'll be able to speak English.
I'm pumped already. I can't wait.
Yay.
All right. Break time. So break stay time. Tuned, and we'll be right back.
Ooh, that was smooth and sultry.
It was.
That was, dude. It's time to wake up. You know, when I was a kid, I was a hardcore gamer. There wasn't a single game that I owned that I didn't beat, and I was good. Like, I could beat Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. One guy. But then the kids came, and the responsibilities. I just didn't have the time or the motivation to keep up. My game backlog just kept growing and growing with each new release. I needed help. So I visited the game backlog support group on VG Evo. They helped me take control of my backlog.
The VG Evo Game Backlog Support Group is a nonprofit organization helping gamers relieve their backlog troubles. Having a game backlog is a debilitating and embarrassing predicament. VG Evo is here to help.
I no longer have to lie about the video games I've played. I can finally say with confidence, yes, I have beat Devil May Cry. And you know what? Nero is a whiny bitch.
If you or someone you know is suffering from their game backlog, please contact www.vgevo.com.
Hey guys, wake up. We're back.
What?
Woo! I'm awake. I'm good to go.
Okay, good.
I'm pretty sure if you guys were more awake, you guys would have been like more inclined to laugh at my Haze joke. Cause dude, that was golden. That was the best pun ever.
No,
in
see, you didn't actually,
you didn't
actually read the subtitle that you had that you sent in the email.
You said I should have done that?
You should have read it.
Yeah. I should have. But do it now?
Do it now.
No, I can't do it now.
Oh, sure
I'll do it later and then we can throw it in.
All right. okay, what are we talking about this week?
Shooters.
Shooters.
Shooters, yes.
RP shooters. Okay. Cool. Well, so, Jason, what do we got this week?
We have emails and a voicemail.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, voicemail. Ooh, voicemail. See, now I'm excited.
Yeah. Should I save it for the end, though?
I don't know. Whenever,
man. Pretty good one. Ah, what the hell? I'll blow my load. It's Scott.
Hey, Batman. Bitch Pig here. I would have some nice things to say, but I think I'll just go with yada yada.
Thanks, Joe.
So let's talk about shooters. Coming from my perspective, I've never been a huge fan of the genre, so take what I have to say here with a grain of salt. That goes for all you listeners, too. I truly think that FPSs have not been inspired in quite some time, with the rare exception of a game like Bioshock that makes it truly a unique experience. Every Halo, Call of Duty, and Haze seem to be a regurgitation of the last. Yes, they add some interesting nuances like a leveling multiplayer system or a mechanic like Nectar, but I really think that these elements make for little other than icing on the same old cake. Every time I pick up one of these games, it never fails to disappoint. That's not to say that other genres don't follow their own formula, and it's certainly not to say that these games can't be entertaining. But I don't personally like the genre well enough to get inspired by some little bits like this. So tell me, am I being accurate? Or is my judgment clouded by my general meh for the genre? And secondly, in an attempt to inspire the uninspirable, please share one shooter title each that you deem to be a must play, and I'll add them to my backlog pile of shame if I haven't played them already. Looking forward to your thoughts. Keep making them, and I'll keep listening. Peace.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks.
First, I like how he integrates the background music
did you
to
guys,
his podcast.
I was going
to
say, did you guys put in that porn music, or was that his choice?
No, that's his. That's from his. That's from the goo.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Okay.
I was just trying to be funny again.
Trying. That's good.
Yes.
That's
all right.
Exactly. Your attempts to be funny are not bad. They're just wasted on us today.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I should say
really
what it is. You know, when you guys are alive.
All right. Are his thoughts wasted? I don't think so.
No, because they pretty much encompass everything that I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Clouded judgment.
Clouded
really?
Judgment.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
Well, okay. I agree with him to an extent, and then I disagree with him to another. I'll start with Halo. Halo. Yes, Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3 are all similar, but what Halo was the first to do what it did. I call Halo on consoles is the World of Warcraft of PCs, and the way that it did everything right the first time, and it can basically live off that till whenever it gets like till the popularity just kind of dwindles, because you know what I mean. Like, there's been a lot of MMOs that have been released. Some things do things that WoW doesn't do. Or might even do better, but WoW is still the staple of what every MMO is trying to be or try to like take attention away from. But because it's already reached that status and it does everything so well, it can basically, you know, if it ain't broke, why fix it kind of thing. And that's basically what Halo did. So it hasn't really brought anything new in the sequels, but it basically planted that seed that keeps growing. Whereas they've improved it every single time. like multiplayer for the second one, online multiplayer. It's like Halo started the whole matchmaking system. So without that, who knows where we'd be right now in terms of matchmaking.
On consoles.
That games like on consoles. Yeah, don't do it. I'm sticking strictly consoles because people on PC won't agree. Because I mean, Halo definitely is not original in terms of first person shooters, but in terms of first person shooters on consoles, it changed the entire way consoles shooters are looked at and developed. Like, there's no doubt about that. You can't even argue against that. That's just fact.
Well, like, yeah, I won't argue against that at all.
No, you can't. So, but yeah, so he's right in that sense in terms of the sequels. Yes, they don't do too much innovate from the previous one, but they just improve what they've already set the standard for. And same with Call of Duty 4.
I think that's what he's kind of getting at, though, is that that Halo set that standard and everyone is just trying to copy it. And that's kind of where we're going with this, right?
It is. But then you mentioned Call of Duty, which, again, agree. The Call of Duty games were, even the first one just did the World War II shooter perfectly, and 2 did it even better. 3 was kind of meh. But then he said 4, okay, you just add in some things with multiplayer, like a level-up system. But that was huge. That is why people kept playing. Like, that is like a huge innovation for first-person shooters. Like, they did that right, and they were the first developer to really do it next to, like, Ubisoft tried to do it with the Lockout, Rainbow Six. They did it terribly. They totally did it wrong. Whereas they did this addictive thing where everyone can do it. You don't feel that even at the lower levels, you can't compete with the higher level guys. You're still getting new equipment, new perks, and the perks itself is a huge innovation that was never introduced, never done in any other game. So with 4, that's when I disagree, because 4, Call of Duty 4 definitely innovated the genre past what it was at that point, because to that point, nothing really changed anything. For multiplayer, yes. Yeah. I'm saying, for single player, it's hard, because people don't seem to, I'm not sure if they just don't want to. They're kind of relying on story these days more than anything, but I don't know. Because, I mean, I guess Half-Life kind of set the standard there. Well, that, I think that's kind of arguable, but...
Yeah.
But so that's what I'm saying. I agree and disagree. Like, it depends on what games he's talking about. And if you're talking multiplayer, there's been a lot more advancements in there in single-player, 100%. But I thought Call of Duty 4 did a great job of changing it up.
So, one shooter that you think people should play. Jeff.
Don't start with me, dude.
Don't start with
me. I gotta think
you?
About this, man. Don't put me on the spot.
I haven't really, I kind of have one in my head, but, what about you, Jason? Do you have one?
Oh, Postal, without a doubt.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Just cause he's gotta play it now. He said he's gonna add it to his backlog, so.
So now he has to. You doomed him to that fate, huh?
Well, Jeff, if you want me to come back to you, I'll say mine. Disruptor for the PS1. It was the first game that Insomniac ever made. And, it's a lot of the mechanics that are used in like the BioShock and that kind of thing are kind of used in Disruptor because you have psionic powers in the game. So it's a, it was a lot of fun. The game was freaking beautiful for a PS1 game at the time. So yeah, go check that one out.
Wow.
Is an MMO. It's not a shooter.
You can have mine, Jeff.
I can have yours. Okay. Cause the first one I always tell anyone who, if I were to say people who don't play first person shooters, this is going way, I would just say Doom 2. Just cause that is just awesome. It's like, that's what got really me addicted to first person shooters that are, I only picked 2. But, if I had to pick one like recently, I would just have to go with Call of Duty 4, but I think he's already played it. I'm not sure if he's played through the whole campaign, but I don't know. That's one of the games, if someone said, I want a good first-person shooter today, if someone said, recommend one, Call of Duty 4 would be the first one.
I would agree with that. If they wanted something on a current generation system, I would probably say either Call of Duty or Call of Duty 4 or BioShock.
Yeah. All right, you know what? I'm going to veto my Doom comment. And Half-Life 2.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, no matter how you can get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm playing that one right now, and, I'm enjoying it. The story is actually very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it totally is. I actually would have said Team Fortress 2. I think it's a really good FPS.
Does that game have, like, a single-player mode of some sort?
None whatsoever.
That's what I thought. It's all online multiplayer, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So there's no storyline or anything like that, but the humor and the playability carry it completely and totally.
We need to get on that game one day, like soon.
We do.
I agree. I've been itching for months ever since I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do it.
I just, you know, don't want to get killed in like
That's what I'm saying. We have to get like just people from the community and us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, do you think I should proceed with the next email?
Yeah, go for it.
What the hell? All right. So email, Ricky Duty. I can say that I did like what Call of Duty 4 did with the levels. I hated the lack of cover system. I just can't take first-person shooters and MP with random pugs. I have no idea what the acronyms mean. Anyway, I like playing co-op with friends and having a nice story mode. Rainbow Six Vegas had this, but the co-op mode was bland and lacked all the cutscenes and story in between levels. So, to me, I can say that I can enjoy a story like Call of Duty 4 story mode with some leveling up, maybe some type of customizing weapons a la Army of Two, and a nice online co-op. A lot of games have all of these elements, but I still haven't seen one that has them all together in one. And let's make a new storyline that doesn't fucking involve World War II and or motherfucking Vietnam, the Holocaust, or Afghanistan. I'm sick and tired of current slash past Marines. Events in video games. Make something new. I know people who were in wars and they can't shut up about stories. I don't need to live them through a game. Slash rant. That means he's done ranting.
Hopefully we have no vets listening to this.
Yeah. All right, so that's Ricky Duty's email.
That's Ricky Duty.
Would you two care to comment?
Yeah, I'd like to see that stuff. I mean, the one thing I just hope that I want to see all that stuff too, but the thing is, if you go too far with the customization, that can kind of be overwhelming at times. That's why I think Lockout had its problems, where Call of Duty 4 did it right, where just like you're customizing, you're just putting things on the guns for basically aesthetics or simple things like what type of sight you want.
Yeah.
You don't have to like adjust too much stuff. Hmm. But yeah, I can go with something like that. Like a lot of, I think co-op's one of the things that has been innovating in the genre for the last couple of years, I guess. Mm-hmm. Just that no one's really like, Halo 3 did the four player at once, but it wasn't perfect. It was still laggy sometimes. Then Haze has the four player. I'm not sure if Haze is, I think they take out the cutscenes in Haze too. I'm not 100% sure. I'm sure someone will correct me though.
I think they're still there, but you can skip them. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, the whole jump in, jump out co-op thing on Haze apparently works really well.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
I like the idea of customization of the weapons and stuff. That would be kind of neat. But I think Jeff has a point. You have to watch how much you let them change, you know?
I'm all for it. Customize the hell out of shit. I've seen some videos from Battlefield Heroes. Is that?
Yeah.
I think it's being developed by EA, browser-based game. And they give you several options for character customization. It's really just just different skins, really, from what I can tell, anyway. But I don't know. That's totally cool. Anything they can do to make it not seem so cookie cutter, I'm all for.
Exactly.
Totally.
Yeah. Fun ways to introduce co-op. Like I know Brute Force, like that terrible, god awful game for Xbox last gen. If you guys played it, but before they released it, they had a bunch of videos, because it was going to be co-op, of a bunch of cool things you can actually do cooperatively. Like, there's one weapon where this huge guy carried, basically like a big rocket launcher. Then another one of the smaller characters had this laser sight, and he would have to aim the laser at the target, and then wherever that laser's aimed, when the big guy fired the rocket, that's where the rocket would go to. And they had all these cool stuff in the videos, of this stuff, and none of it made it into the game. Like, cool, like, co-op now, everyone seems to be wanting to do the whole co-op thing, but they're just doing, like, okay, we'll just add in more players. But how about throw in multiple players to actually have them working cooperatively in different ways? Like, I don't know how they could do it, per se, but I don't know. Like, Resistance 2, this is why I'm so excited for Resistance 2, because they actually, I didn't think they innovated at all with the first one. Like, okay, they had 40 players online, but that's not innovating, that's just taking an online thing and adding more players. But with 2... it's going to be up to 60 players, but what's cool about it is the way they're doing it is when you're online, they put you in squads, and each squad are going to have a different type of objective. So say like we're in one squad, and say a group of other people in another squad, our squad will be like, okay, we have to protect this base. And say another, now the other team, some of their squads, their objectives will be like they have to attack our base. And if we start getting our ass kicked, one of the other squads, their objectives will change. Whatever they have to do is go help out this squad. They're being, overrun by enemies, and they'll have to come and help us out. So it's kind of like constantly changing, but each group has something else to do. Hmm. Like if they can somehow do that in co-op play, like which is like a lower number, that'd be pretty awesome. And that's why I'm excited for releases. Like that's another step of innovation, I think. Like at least on consoles, like that's pretty awesome.
I like the idea of having that Resistance is going to have two separate campaigns, one for co-op play and one for single player play.
And one for single.
I think that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, like that. Not first-person shooter, but Splinter Cell Chaos Theory did that with their co-op missions. It was a co-op campaign for co-op. Like, there was like four or five missions. Did co-op. The missions were specifically built for co-op, and it was really, really awesome, but they only ever released like those four levels, and that was it. They could have based the entire game around that, and I think it would have done really well. If they could do that first person, that'd be, again, awesome. It's a good idea.
I want to revisit something real quick. I just want to back up to the customization thing. Mm-hmm. The one way that that they could do that would be really easy and really effective at the same time is different ammo. You know, because I've fired a revolver before, and I was with my buddy. Ralph, and you know, he basically put in five regular bullets that, you know, the ones that we've been loading up, and he put in one 50 caliber bullet, and he put it in, spun it around, said here, and let me know when you fire the 50 caliber bullet, and the amount of power that thing puts out is ridiculous. So, you know, maybe changing up the ammo, maybe you get different bullets that are more powerful, but less accurate because there's so much more kickback, you know, that it would actually change the way that the gun feels while you're playing with it. You know, does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
It's something that's, you know, it has realism to it too because, you know, there's different bullets for different guns.
You crazy Americans.
I'll tell you.
Me and Ralph just went off and shot revolvers yesterday, and
no, we went to a shooting range. Went to a shooting range, and I know. I got to shoot a 22, a 9mm, his revolver, and one other. I think I can't remember though.
Was it liberating?
It was. It made me feel powerful and in control. No, it really didn't. Totally kidding.
I've been having evil thoughts.
Cool. Well, what else? We got
another email.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
I'm going to go with this one from Mr. Jim Head. He says, and bear in mind, I think he's from Sweden. So it's sometimes a little, the translation doesn't come through all the way.
Yeah. So blame your weak reading skills on his,
I'm going to try. Him being Swedish. If you want me to read it as is, I can do that for you, but I'm going to try and clean it up. Anyway, so I want to begin by saying that I'm going to focus mostly on the FPS genre because I believe that my definition of just the shooter genre is too wide. And plus, I think that's what you guys really wanted to talk about anyway. Anyway, the first-person shooter genre is extremely hard to make something innovative and new in, mostly because of the heavy foundations they're made in. So I think that when developers are going into planning on what kind of first-person shooter they want to make, they have two choices. Either they try and make something new and take ideas from other genres of games, like putting in RPG elements, or try to take Counter-Strike, Quake, and Unreal Tournament games out of the pure FPS school. Heads on and refine the controls and balance the guns even more than those games have done. And that is a boring way to meet a dead end. But no, he's right. I think there are kind of two trees. You know, if you go, you know, very realistic Counter-Strike way, you know, or if you go into like a BioShock type thing, where you're adding additional powers and storyline and stuff like that.
Well, I think that the whole level up system that they do for Call of Duty 4, I think that could be translated to a single player experience at the same time. You know, making it so that as you use a gun, or a weapon in general, don't necessarily have to be a gun, right? So. As you use something, you know, you get more experience with that particular weapon and you get more accurate. You can, more easily, hit shots at particular parts of the body.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. That totally works for a single player experience.
Absolutely.
It's when you mix it in with multiplayer and when you have an edge over someone else, you know, then it gets a little hairy. So I haven't played a ton of Call of Duty 4, so I don't know how well balanced it is, but.
Well, a game that was released last year that a lot of people kind of blew over. It has a lot of like kind of RPG elements, a lot of like different crazy superpowers. I thought it was really innovational. That was Shadowrun.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you guys.
Oh, that was cool.
That was pretty damn good. I mean, I think it kind of shot itself in the foot because of the pricing and whatnot. And, but it was really cool and really well balanced too for anyone who played it. And it was not too overwhelming. Like, it had a pretty big tutorial, but they had a ton of powers. you got to pick what powers, what weapons you want to buy in between rounds. So that kind of Counter-Strike thing where you get money throughout each round, and it's like elimination based. So it's not respawn, you die, you pretty much wait. Unless, of course, someone had a resurrect spell and they can resurrect you or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool. That was probably one of the most innovative on consoles again, but overlooked
especially big time. Especially recently. I'm glad you mentioned that one. I really love the Shadowrun series, and I was excited for that, but I hate FPSs. But mm-hmm. So it's cool that you mentioned it. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was
nice. I liked it. I played the hell out of it for a while.
Are those servers even up anymore?
No, I think they took them down.
For what? For
Shadowrun.
Well, they weren't dedicated, so I'm sure as long as people are on the game, you can find a game, right?
Oh, okay, yeah. I guess that's true.
I don't know.
But I don't know. No, I think, no, they are still, because I saw just the other day, there's a couple people I'm friends with that play it every once in a while, so because there is no single player, really, I'm sure they're probably playing multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it has a little bit of a niche following. People still play.
Yeah, I think you were right, though, that the problem with that was more the price point. You know, I mean, it's an online-only game, and they were selling it for full price.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, you know, shortly after that, Warhawk comes out with an online-only experience, and it's $40 as opposed to $60.
Exactly.
And I think that really, it kind of took away from the excitement of Shadowrun.
Right. Oh, it totally did. And Shadowrun came out of a time when there was nothing really out at that time on Xbox 360, so it was a prime time to release a game in terms of people wanting something to do. But people were like, first of all, a lot of people didn't like the character design either, like the art design, but I guess that plus the price were just kind of like, meh. But I thought it was really good. And it did a lot of things I've never experienced in a first-person shooter, like just teleporting everywhere and then flying everywhere and... And I thought it was going to be craziness, but it was really a lot of fun.
It was cool. It was also heard on the PC side of things because it was released in a DX10. And so you needed Vista to run it. And Vista was not widespread at that time. And a lot of people were poo-pooing it. Still do. But
And also they dumbed it. Well, this is what I heard, that they dumbed down the PC version where they basically controlled just like the Xbox version, even with a mouse and keyboard. It slowed it down. So, of course, all the PC enthusiasts were all like, well, why cripple my game because I have a keyboard and mouse? Because it was the whole... You could play Xbox 360 people with the PC people, and that would have just made things crazy.
So here we are bitching about, you know, shooters lacking all this innovation, and here we have a game that seems to do that sort of thing, and it just, I don't know, falls through the cracks.
Yeah.
Sad.
What do people want? I don't know.
What do you want, people? My God. All right. Email time. This one's a good one. I like this one. It's from Aces. Aces, hi. Jeff, you know him. First-person shooters have been
56,
doing...
56. So I'm going to call him 56 for now.
First-person shooters have been doing the same thing for years, point and shoot. There are only a few ways to tell different shooters apart, and that is their aesthetics and their story. I'm sure that doesn't sound like a lot, but you have to remember that there really is only one way to shoot things. There are a few shooters that do actually try this thing called innovation. Innovation in this genre of video games is always small and always will be small. But whenever a developer really does try to do something new, to me, it seems like it's always passed off as a gimmick. To see innovation, you must ask yourself, what is a gimmick? A gimmick is something that is tried to stand out from the crowd. The fact that something new was tried is the innovation, not if it worked well or not. Just the fact that it was tried. To me, it seems that true innovation is just thrown aside by the people just calling it a gimmick. Something that was just shoehorned into the game. Nectar. Well, is the shooter genre lacking innovation? Some say yes. Some say no, but I honestly say it's about in the middle. Mm-hmm. Signed, Aces, hi. Thank you.
What up?
What is innovation?
He's right, though. Like, a lot of games will just throw something in there to say, hey, here's a game. They're not really innovating anything. They're just kind of throwing something in. And you said Nectar is a joke, but that is true, because everything you do with Nectar, you've done in other games. Like I said, I made that comment last week, Far Cry Instincts.
Yeah.
Exact same thing.
Well, let me back up and say that I was really intrigued by the idea of Nectar. I don't think it didn't play out. Yeah, it didn't work the way that I was either thinking or that I had hoped or something like that. It just
well, keep in mind, guys, that that we haven't actually got. We have, I mean, we're just going off of demo experience, pretty much.
Demo, exactly.
And the, I think that the big picture of the way they wanted Nectar to work is, you know, you don't actually see that until you're halfway through the game and you switch sides, and actually get to throw the Nectar grenades at the soldiers and make them turn on each other and stuff like that. So I think that, I think the idea behind Nectar was good, but I think the execution of the game may have made it sell itself short.
From what I saw
on like, GameSpot put up a video review and I watched it, and you know, GameSpot was not nearly as hard on it as like IGN was. I think they gave it like a 6 or a 6.5. And they, you know, they said that it had redeeming qualities and that, that there's points when you're like, wow, this is really fun to play. And there's other points when you're like, why am I playing this? Well, one of the things that they mentioned is that they liked the fact that you could throw the Nectar grenades, but what took away from that is the fact that the AI is fucking retarded.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's just bad execution on the developer's part.
Well, see, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I mean, why? Seriously, why is this different than just throwing a regular grenade, other than just seeing them kill themselves? What, isn't it more effective to just, you know, throw a grenade? How is this innovative? I mean,
it's more fun.
It's fun.
I mean, okay. I would much rather see two guys go and beat the shit out of each other. All right. You know, it's like,
that's not innovative though. That's just taking something cool and throwing it in the game. Yeah. That's exactly what Ace's point was, is just throwing something in the game, shoehorning and saying, this is cool, as opposed to actually innovating. So it's not actually innovating. It's just something cool.
Yeah. Right. I guess that's a good point.
People called out, I remember when Gears was, before it was released, I was like, oh, this whole cover system that was used in this game, Killswitch, whatever, it's just like a gimmick, whatever. And look what it did for shooters and other games, period. Like how many games now are using cover?
Yeah.
Like,
well, Gears did the cover mostly right.
Well, yeah, other games have done it better since, but they started the thing. And I mean, now what's Killzone 2 is going to have, it's going to be, as far as I know, the first person game with cover that actually stays in first person.
Right.
I mean, Perfect Dark Zero had cover too, but you went to third person.
Yeah, and there's another game that came out recently that does the same
Rainbow
thing.
Rainbow Six too.
Yeah.
That's the cover, yeah.
That's what I was thinking of. But yeah, I remember seeing a video of how Killzone was going to do it. I'm just not sure if I remember exactly how it did. Yeah, I think Gears was the door opening for the whole cover system.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
It really shows with games like even Uncharted. You know, Uncharted was, it's not primarily a shooter. I mean, it definitely has pieces of that genre in it. But I mean, I actually think the cover, I mean, even after playing Gears with you the other day, I still think the cover in Uncharted is better than the cover in Gears.
Really? They're exactly the same, dude. Even the same button, even the same contextual, like it's the same thing. Hit A, close something, take cover.
Yeah, I know, but it seems to work better, at least when I was playing it. I don't know.
Well, it's less claustrophobic. That's probably why.
That might
like
be
in,
it.
In Uncharted, it's not. It's more open areas, and you really, like, if you see something, like, I'm going to take cover on that, whereas Gears, they put a whole bunch of stuff where you could take cover in it, so you would hit A to run or to, like, dive, and next thing you know, you're latching onto a wall, latching onto, like, a rock.
And that very well might be it, so...
But yeah, no, I agree for sure. And Killzone 2 is doing it because most people think, oh, take cover, like all developers so far, even GTA 4 has cover now. It's not a shooter though, but it's your back up against the wall, whereas Killzone looks like you're taking cover as if you're walking up to something, but still facing it, and you can kind of peek over like to the left or the right or above it, which is kind of cool. That's a different way of kind of doing it. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's innovating per se. It's taking another step further, but it's still pretty cool. And if done right, it'll be the next big thing.
Yeah.
All first-person shooters will have to have it.
Well, let me say that I like the cover system business because, I don't know, far too often in first-person shooters, and I know Chris can relate to this, you get kind of a tunnel vision thing, and I don't know, it's not pleasing to me. But I don't know. With the cover system, you can kind of breathe between fights, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not so run and gun. It's not so twitchy. It's not, oh, my God, I'm going to die every 5 seconds. So I know I'm a pussy, but. You know.
No, it's not, dude. I totally agree. Because it gives you also something else to do besides just running and gunning.
Right.
Like, four gears, like you. That's another thing with games like Perfect Dark Zero and Haze and games of, like that kind of like time shift kind of thing. Is you're just running and gunning, shooting, but you don't feel like you're not doing anything in between. Mm-hmm. And even games that don't have cover still force you to use it. Sometimes like Resistance and Halo do a really, really good job of that, where there is no cover mechanic in the game or there's no cover engine, but. you need to take cover in those games to get far if you're playing on any kind of like, well, any kind of difficulty besides pussy. So like you got to go, like you're getting hit, you got to hide behind something, got to kind of reach your way out, you know, creep around. Mm-hmm. And games, first shooters that don't do that are now, to me, are kind of boring because I feel like it's just, okay, it's like being in a shooting gallery.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Yeah. Aim, and that's something shoot, that I don't really like about FPSs in the first place. Oh, yeah. I love seeing it all over the place now. Like in the current games that I'm playing right now, Dark Sector's got it. Grand Theft Auto has got it. Kind of. Yeah, they do. It's just not as good as other games.
Even one of the first games that's ever actually first had cover, Metal Gear Solid, has adjusted it to a more traditional style now, at least by the looks of the videos.
Chris, do you have anything to add on innovation?
I've thrown everything I can think of in. I really think that the customizable weapons was a good idea and the leveling up. So I'm sticking with that for now.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, I have one more. Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff.
I was just going to say, if you have one more, we can go to that, but what do you want to do?
Let's go to the last email, and then we'll...
All right, cool.
Table. The last one's from Dizzy. He starts off with,
Pow, pow!
You're all in a large amount of pain right now. Don't worry, Jason, I didn't shoot you. And then he winked at me. Dizzy and I have some, like, gay chicken thing going on.
I'm telling you, you guys are scaring me a little.
I don't know what the hell's going on. So, suddenly he started hitting on me, and then I'm like, well... I'll just sit on you back to make you feel uncomfortable. But he's not backing down.
Weird package in the mail.
Got a large package for you up front. Shooters. It's a pretty simple concept that's been done to death, I think. The actual way the game is played can be changed by introducing different abilities like time shift. But many people want a realistic shooter. In terms of real-world-based shooter, all that can possibly be sufficiently improved are the graphics and sound. Call of Duty has set a really high standard with 4. You know what? You catch my drift. I can't write anymore. My brain's frazzled, and I'm listening to some Sabbath, so that's all you're getting. Love to your mother's Disneynator Sparkle. Kiss, 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 which I still do not acknowledge.
Until you stop recording and you write him personally.
This kind of reiterates, you know, everything else too. You know, there's two different types of first person shooters. We haven't touched on like third person stuff though, too much.
Yeah,
no, I think it's very viable.
See, I don't want to put in the blanket statement that I don't like shooters because I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, I enjoy third person shooters a lot. More than anything, for me, it's the whole first person perspective. And
peripherals and stuff.
That's why I'm still kind of tempted by Unreal Tournament 3, because you told me that there's that
the action cam.
Yeah, the action cam thing, and that actually makes me interested in the game.
Yeah, that changed my whole perspective of the game, literally.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, but I mean, Gears I liked a lot. Lost Planet. I mean, Lost Planet was a lot of fun. I think it was overlooked by a lot because it came out close to Gears, and Gears was much better looking, but it was different all around. So I think that, you know, if people looked over Lost Planet, they should probably look into playing Colonies, for 360 when it comes out. Or if you have the PS3, get the PS3 version. So, but I think that was a really good game. It didn't really innovate much, but it was downright fun. And, you know, that's a good, but things like, I hate to keep bringing it up, but things like Haze, I mean, there's nothing about Haze that really interests me enough to warrant going out and buying a first person shooter. Like with Resistance, it's like what you said. I mean, the Resistance has, it's not a shooting gallery, you know, it's not as much of a shooting gallery, I should say. And the weapons in Resistance are just freaking fun. You know, I mean, the auger was just outstanding. You shoot through walls and shit like that. It was just good stuff.
I think the innovation in shooters is going to have to come down to the way the story's told, and the more the way it immerses the player, opposed to what you're going to aim and shoot at or what you're going to shoot with. Things like BioShock, a lot of games that technically are shooters, people won't consider a shooter just because the way the game is presented. Like even the Metroid Prime games, people argue with you. They're not shooters. Well, technically, yeah, they are shooters. You're just It's a lot of, they're really story driven, and there's a lot of scanning going on. And BioShock has the whole, it's basically like a adventure game in first person mode,
right?
Where I think that's the way it's going to have to go. I don't think people, I think people who, the people out there playing Call of Duty 4 every night and making it like the number one played game, like online or shooter, and the Halo 3s and those people are happy with what they have right now. Yeah. They're not the ones begging for this innovation, I don't think, because right. they've been playing those games forever. I think it's people like us, people who don't live or die by the first-person shooter, that we want to see something different because we like a lot of different genres of gaming, and we just like to see when people take one thing from one genre, another for another, and then mash them up. And when it's done well and done really well, mm-hmm. we like get off on that shit.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take more stuff along the lines of BioShock and Metroid Prime to get the person feel like they're in a totally different environment. They're going to have to take out the realism that a lot of people love in the shooters and just kind of just don't be afraid to be different from Call of Duty. Don't be afraid to be different than Halo.
Yeah.
You know, don't be different than Resistance. Just don't be afraid. Just go out and do it and see what happens.
So it's like, you know, that market's covered already. I mean, if you look at like a game like Counter-Strike, which is still extremely popular.
Oh, yeah.
That hasn't changed in how long. You know, I mean, those people are catered to. They're taken care of. You know, there's room for adventurous stuff.
Oh, for sure. Huxley. I mean, that's going to be the first MMO. That's a first-person shooter, and who knows how that's going to turn out? It's been in development forever, but you know.
You know what I'm actually looking forward to seeing is The Conduit, which is coming out for the Wii. Because one of the things that really interested me about first-person shooters on the Wii is the point-and-shoot thing. And they tried with Red Steel and failed pretty badly. But you know, The Conduit is shaping up to look really good, like from videos I've seen. And I'm actually interested to see if they can make it work. I know that they did it with, Metroid, but you know, Metroid kind of had the whole lock on thing still going to an extent. So I really want to see how they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. It's going to come down more to execution now, more in terms of more than actual content, how it's done. Right. I don't know.
Do you think the genre is lacking in innovation?
It is now.
You think so?
I think there's so much that's been done. Excuse me. There's so much that's been done over the past few years. Basically, it started with Halo. You know, like Jeff said, Halo is what made console shooters what they are. And you know, innovation happened and it happened and it happened. But, you know, at some point it goes back to what I think Aces was saying. The innovation started turning into more gimmicks. And we haven't really seen that next big jump in the shooter genre. At least I don't think we have.
Right. But I think we've leaped pretty far forward just within the past few years. You know, if we go back a few years, there was just realistic shooters. I don't want to say that just like a blanket statement across the board, but I mean, we were saturated completely and totally with World War II stuff.
You know,
we're starting to break out of that mold a little bit more now. Anyway, go ahead.
I think there's always going to be the copycats and stuff but it's how often do you want them to innovate? Like, I'm cool with one or two innovative games in any genre. A generation, because realistically, you can look at any genre and be like, "Where's the innovation?"
Yeah,
I mean, recently, platforming did not have any type of innovation whatsoever until Mario Galaxy. And how long did that take?
Wow, well, that's
since Mario 64.
That's a bold statement there, Charney.
Well, I don't know.
Okay,
I'm not huge in platforming. I guess Chris,
to be honest,
Chris,
the whole gravity thing on Mario Galaxy, I wish I could remember the name of the game, but there was a side-scrolling. Like shoot 'em up platformer that came out on the original 8-bit NES that did that.
Is that Metal Warriors? No.
Yeah, it's Metal something. You're on the right track, but it's upstairs in my room. I actually own it, so I'll have to go look for it. But you know, and you could just jump up in the air and you could flip around and you know walk around on the ceiling. So the whole gravity thing has been done too.
Yeah.
The thing is that Mario is considered the innovator of the platforming genre. So even if it's been done before, when Mario does it, that's when people think about it as saying, hey, that's innovative right there.
Yeah.
When they take notice of it.
Right. And I think that's a misconception. And I think that, you can find a game in every genre that is like that, where, that's been done before, but nobody noticed until these guys did it.
Yeah.
Look at Guitar Freaks.
You know, true.
Guitar Freaks has been out in Japan for years, But nobody really noticed anything about it until Guitar Hero came out. And then Guitar Hero is the biggest thing since sliced bread.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in the U.S.
In the U.S., right.
I think the hardcore first-person fan aren't really craving for innovation. I think they're a lot like the niche fighting crowd out there mm-hmm. who still to this day live or die by 2D fighters.
Yeah.
And like there hasn't been that much innovation in fighting games either. They've tried, yeah. they've gone to go 3D, they've tried to do a bunch of different stuff, but really what it comes down to is they like what they like. And developers know that. Like, mm-hmm. Jason, I know this is kind of getting sidetracked here, but I saw you in the soapbox today. You were talking about that new Capcom game, the Capcom versus that weird game.
It's an animation studio in Japan versus Capcom.
Yeah, versus Capcom. Right. There's a new fighter, and it's basically 2D based with kind of, I saw a couple screenshots. It's like, that actually looks really cool. And people are getting more excited than this, and they would say, like, a new Tekken game. Mm-hmm. But Tekken's not exactly innovation. See, I'm totally rambling here, but you get my point though.
You're illustrating a pretty good point actually. Like 2D gamers, you know, they know what they like, and they want technical things. You know, they want it to be solid gameplay. You know, above all else, above graphics, above this.
I think of almost not looking at it as how can developers innovate the shooting genre. I kind of more look at it like, hey, let them have the shooters be shooters. How can we take this genre that everybody loves and how do we innovate a different, like how do we innovate this adventure game by including shooting elements? Because mm-hmm. I don't think there's good luck with the shooting genre. Like it's going to be one game every like 10 that actually does something. You're like, holy crap, I've never done this before.
Yeah.
Whereas if they were to do it with a different kind of game and add shooting elements, it'd be probably a lot better chance of people taking notice.
Like Uncharted or like Mass Effect?
Yeah, exactly.
Where the shooting is there, but it's secondary, kind of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or even Ratchet and Clank. You know?
Yeah.
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 Ratchet and Clank is a platformer first, but, you know, if you wanted to, you could play it like a shooter.
Yeah.
That's how like I play
BioShock,
it.
Same thing, Metroid Primes. Even, some people will say even the, I guess kind of like a reach if I were to say like the Half-Life games. Because they're more adventure type with a heavy base shooting though. Like there's a lot of platforming in the Half-Life games. Like I don't know if you noticed that, Chris. But there's a lot of puzzle solving and platforming.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of searching out for that switch that you have to hit or that you know that valve that you have to open. You know, there's a lot of that. I've noticed that. How do we want to wrap up?
Good luck, developers.
Yeah, really. Developers. Yeah. I don't know. It's cool that we're seeing like sub-genres of shooters inside of the shooter genre. So that's good to see. Yeah. I don't think we're really lacking all that much in innovation.
They're doing a fine job.
Yeah, I think we're being taken care of. We're okay.
Yeah,
but exactly. If you guys want to do something crazy, hey, go for it. Rock on.
Customizable weapons. That's next. And leveling up on weapons.
Leveling up on weapons. Eh, what the fuck?
There you go.
Yeah, why not? Just try it. Who the hell knows?
Exactly.
Like, just try it. Exactly.
But just don't touch my Counter-Strike. Ever. Seriously, I mean, I don't hear people clamoring for like new features in Counter-Strike, but they want like bug fixes. You know, they're just in love with that game. And that even opens up a lot of room for freedom with, you know, all the various mods and stuff. And first-person shooter fans are pretty hardcore.
Yeah.
They are.
And I think you guys have a very good point. The hardcore first person shooter fans don't really want the innovation. I think Jeff, I think you hit that one right on the head.
Yeah, they want more of the same, just better graphics.
Yeah. But it's the people that don't play shooters as much like us.
Yeah.
Just like you said. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Whatever. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think that it is. I personally think that it's lacking in innovation. Because I think that there is too much gimmicky stuff going on, but you know, I think it's possible that they will innovate, and I think Call of Duty 4 made the right first step with their whole multiplayer leveling up system, and I think that we'll see more of that in the future.
Duly noted. So, do we have a winner this week?
A winner of what?
I don't know, because we always just seem to go round and round during these features, and it's like I want like some closure or something, because we're always like, yeah, kind of, sort of.
All right. Kind of like, sure.
All right.
Well, whatever. I mean, I stated my opinion.
I know. So
Jeff
and I
win.
I see
what you're saying, Jason.
That's fine. You can win.
Flawless victory.
I'll deal with that.
You know.
Right. I lose. No big deal.
Suck it up.
That's right. All right, cool. Well, let's move forward.
Let's.
New releases. There's not a lot. I didn't do any research on any of these because most of them sound like they don't deserve it. So for the Wii, Emergency
Haze
Heroes.
Came out last week.
What's that?
Said Haze came out last week, Chris.
Oh.
Okay, that's the last one, I swear.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. You're such a lying fuck. For Wii, Emergency Heroes, Death Junior, Root of Evil, Monkey King, The Legend Begins, and Kawasaki Snowmobiles.
I thought you were going to say snorkeling.
Yes, Kawasaki snorkeling.
There's innovation, a snorkeling game.
Snorkeling game.
Actually, didn't they come out? The Wii had a game like that was like scuba diving, didn't they?
Sure. I don't know, but WiiWare is going to get beer pong. Did you see that shit?
Fuck, that's awesome.
That's so retarded.
I found that entertaining.
That's awesome.
Oh, come on.
Nah, I'm just kidding. Okay, I'm kind of not, but whatever.
You could turn your Wii into a drinking game system. That's awesome.
I'm not getting drunk idiots next to my Wii at all.
Yeah. No. All right, for the DS, Super Dodgeball Brawlers and US Today Crossword Challenge. Yay.
I'm going to look at that Super Dodgeball thing.
Super Dodgeball Brawlers, like, I actually do want to take a look at, because if it's anything like the old Super Dodgeball that we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that might be
that
worth
was
looking
awesome.
At. Because you know the old Super Dodgeball for the original NES was fantastic.
Oh yeah, it was.
PS3 and 360 are both getting Enemy Territory Quick Wars.
Oh
and
yeah,
I don't think that needs any introduction. That's why I didn't do anything with that.
Yeah.
And PSP is getting World Championship Cards.
I feel sorry for Quake Wars.
Why is that?
Not that it's like a bad game or anything. I heard it's decent. It's just no. I don't think anyone's going to buy it.
Really.
I think it's bad. Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't heard. I mean, this is one of those things where I looked at the new release list and I was like, oh, really? That's coming out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think anybody really knows when it comes out, that it's coming out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think it's going to get lost in the shuffle.
I think so, too.
It's going to hang out with Shadowrun.
Everybody's going to be buying Haze.
Oh, yeah. Chris.
Sorry.
I might have to just because I feel so bad for Haze now. We've been picking on it, and everyone's picking on it. I'm sorry, Haze.
Yeah, we should probably play the game first, huh?
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Poor Haze.
We should all rent it, play co-op, and then we can rip into it the next show.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, if you guys right. if you guys want to...
That is a big draw of the game, is the multiplayer co-op.
Yeah, and that's actually, true. I mean, especially after playing Gears the other day, co-op. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a lot of fun playing Gears.
Yeah, it's good times.
Yeah, it was much better than the first single player. You know, single player's like, yay, run up, stop, blow some people away. Go, you know, revive the four dead guys that, you know, couldn't keep, you know, the AI was stupid. So go over and revive them.
You mean Jeff?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
No, the computer is the stupid AI. Jeff is just the... Oh, fuck. Why did I forget his name now? The WoW guy.
Dom? The who?
The WoW guy.
Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah, Leroy
Jenkins. Leroy Jenkins.
Jeff,
so you guys
want to
do it?
Of Gears of War.
For real?
I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah, let's go rent Haze.
It's only
and,
fair.
And we'll do some online co-op.
Okay.
I think, yeah, we should do it up. Then we'll do a review.
I think it's fair.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay.
Right. Maybe we'll actually do a commercial even though we lost.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
All right, cool. Well, that was it for new releases. So I'm going to pass it off, pass it back to Jason.
My show.
That's
back
right.
off.
The Jason show. Second half right. of the show is Jason's.
Actually, no. The second half of the show is Ricky Duties. And you know what? I got to cut him off because he had stuff in the last segment. And then he's got a very lengthy email because he hasn't been on the show in a couple few weeks. Mm-hmm. So he gave us a recap. Like all of the shows,
okay.
But so I think I'm going to skip that. Basically, he was just explaining he's playing in a band and stuff, and then he did his backlog stuff. And all right, anyway, Ricky Duty, I am going to play your voicemail though, if you don't mind. Okay, here we go.
Yay, voicemail.
Hey guys, this is Ricky, and I'm calling you guys because I started playing Age of Conan yesterday, and I will say that I'm really enjoying it right now. Combat system is a little bit different from Auto Attack, World of Warcraft type battle system. It's a bit more interactive, so you have to be pushing buttons in different directions to slash in those ways. It's pretty cool. It's worth a try. If you guys can get a buddy key or a trial, do so, because it's a really nice game.
Aiden said he's going to give me his buddy.
There's something that will sell this way really good for just like one word. Boobies. There's massive boobies, and you can go around showing your boobies. So, yeah, get it.
Cool. I'm oddly excited for this game. I don't even like the Conan mythos and universe.
So you didn't buy it?
What's that?
Remember, you're all going to buy it yesterday. You're on the chat box. Like, someone stopped me from buying Conan.
Well, someone did. Yeah, I don't remember what they said, but they didn't really have to twist my arm too much because I don't really have the money for it right now. But no, it looks really cool. I like the combat system an awful lot. Definitely more interactive than most MMOs, and there's actual, you know, collision detection. You know, I think it was mentioned on Kotaku as well that if you've got like three tanks blocking like a hallway or something like that, the monster cannot get through. Which is awesome. So cool. So it has, you know, strategic elements and whatnot. But the game looks really good. There's boobs. I like boobs.
And has it been announced that it's coming to consoles yet or no?
I think on the 360. I heard rumors. I haven't been following it until just recently, so I'm still like really behind on stuff. Definitely want to check it out. So Eamon promised me his buddy key. I'm going to make good use of it. They're apparently not taking buddy keys right now, though, like to download the game and actually top online. So I think they're just trying to keep traffic down for the time being. Actually, I think they're just trying to make me buy the game.
Yeah, probably.
Fuckers.
Because all those World of Warcraft players are, you know, want to rush over to switch over to Conan as we speak.
Yeah. Well,
servers will be flooded.
Jason wasn't really interested in the game until he saw the boobies.
Yeah, I guess the boobies.
It's all about the tits and ass with you, isn't it, Jay?
Always. I know.
At least he's honest, though.
I'm so ashamed. Now, honestly, I could care less about the tits, but it's a nice little bonus, I'm sure. But it's kind of scary, though, because you know it's like, you know, prepubescent kids running around topless, you know, on people. And that's kind of creepy.
So, that is kind of creepy.
Kind of.
It might look kind of nice, but it's like, oh, shit. Who the hell is playing this character? Don't look. Don't look. Don't get excited. No.
Don't get excited.
Don't get excited.
Want a cyber?
You know it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Ah. Hey, Ricky, dude, I don't mean to dog on you about the emails and stuff, really. We do love you, and we love it when you write in. I can't read everything. I'm sorry.
Ricky, I told him he should read it.
So did Chris. I'm the asshole here. Fuck you guys. You want the show back?
Wait, I did? When did I say that? Sorry.
All right, I have one more regular email here, and it's from Navo, and I subtitled it The Bitch Mail. He's really quite graphic in this one. Anyway, he's very angry all the time. I don't get it.
Never.
All right, I need a deep breath here. Navo.
I'm angry too if I...
Navo.
I won't say it.
Oh, why do people talk when they have nothing but shit to spew out? I ask you... These sites that say Haze is completely unoriginal, does nothing well, and is all around a shitty story. I ask you, what did they give to Halos? Every time I hear the word shooter and lacking innovation, I cringe. You have RPG gamers wanting a fantastic story in the form of a 20-minute cutscene, MMO-style gamers wanting customization and retarded quests. You have the COD crowd wanting the same shit over and over. And then you have me.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yeah.
I think it's hilarious to stuff. Why do people, so many people spit shit out of their mouth or say a bunch of like negative things to say? And he opens up the email shitting on people who like any kind of game. Anyway, as you were.
And then you have me, some kid who just wants to be on a SWAT, Rainbow, Ghost Recon, or some other fake military squad and whoop some ass. You have people who have no business saying something about the genre, bitching about things that just don't apply. One example of this is when someone makes a comment, the main character is weak. Hey, jackass, guess what? It's a first-person game. You are the main character. Quite honestly, I can go on and on about how fucking retarded the people who talk about first-person shooters are, but one fact remains, no innovation is not missing. I know this was supposed to be part of the last segment, but anyway, I took it out. Anyway,
that's fine.
It simply is a matter of innovation being overlooked. Say it was because of graphics, the way it was presented, voice acting, which really gives a fuck. But in the gamer's opinion, two of the best storied first-person shooters came out in the last year, Haze and The Darkness.
God.
Both were new ways to present a story, new ways to challenge and empower the player, and best of all, both of these games had phenomenal stories. That's from Nabo. P.S., if you want to rewrite, just let me know. P.S.S., despite what grammatical errors may have you believe, this email went through the checker. I don't know how it went through, but...
How it made it through?
But I pulled it out of the regular segment to spotlight. He makes some excellent points.
Okay. He makes some excellent points, but he also makes some exact opposite of excellent points.
Opposite of excellent points.
I don't want to be negative.
First well, question. Like I said, first question I have for him is he talking about us? I mean, because we're asking about first-person shooters. You know, that was the whole topic of this week. So is he bitching it about us? Is this like a hate mail towards us? Or?
I think he's bitching at us. He's bitching at himself, and because. Like I said, he's complaining about people talking shit about first-person shooters, and he went and talked shit about a bunch of other types of people playing their games. Yeah. So, kind of falls in that. Also, The Darkness didn't innovate shit. It told a very good story, but Starbreeze did that innovation back before previous generation with Riddick.
That's basically true.
The Darkness was Riddick with a different storyline and some innovation taken out because Riddick at least had the melee combat and stuff, like the boxing kind of shit, which is actually really cool.
Yeah.
But other than that, Darkness didn't add anything new to first-person shooters at all. It was good. I really liked The Darkness. In fact, I'd recommend it to like anybody, but I don't think it innovated anything. I liked it.
Really? And Nabo liked it.
Yeah, that's weird.
I said something in common. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
But I don't know now. What you're trying to say that basically he says Haze and Darkness have good story, but that's not innovation either. That's just good story.
It's just like a pat on the back. It's like, good job.
That's like, yeah. Okay, cool.
It's not innovative. I don't know what to make of this.
I don't want to comment anymore. Really? I'm done with the shooter conversation. The shooter conversation is over.
Come on, it's Nabo. You have to comment. It's funny.
Cool.
So
he can take it. He dishes out. He can take it.
No, it's not that. I mean, just the guy don't likes talk
hair,
about shooters anymore.
Hair. The guy likes hair. The guy likes Lair and Haze. We gotta like comment on his email, please.
All right. Well, that's the emails that we got for this week. I do have to make some errata. We did receive some other emails for last week's show. One we received after the time limit, and then one that was actually before, and it was my bad. I missed it. I'm just going to go ahead and read those. This one's from Tom and Anita Wilson, or Watson, but it's signed Chris, and I think it's actually animated. Is that right?
Okay.
Do you guys know?
From VGEVO?
Yeah,
animated from VGEVO, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's animated. I'm pretty sure. Almost certain. Okay. Anyway, sup, guys? My backlog consists of Spider-Man 3, Unreal Tournament 3. All games on the orange box except Portal, that game kicks ass, and MotorStorm. What's keeping me from playing Spider-Man 3 is the simple fact that it's downright awful. Like most movie games, it doesn't follow the story well at all and feels like a half-arsed attempt from all of the voice cast. Come to think of it, apart from The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, has there ever been a good game based on a movie? Unreal Tournament 3 won't ever get played because I bought it hoping for an awesome split-screen multiplayer game to play when friends are over. I was hugely disappointed when I received to find all that there was were really lame campaign modes and only online multiplayer. Poopy. I added the poopy. I'm on a really boring vehicle section in Half-Life Episode 2 at the moment and really can't be bothered with it. The game doesn't seem to be going anywhere, and I'm well aware that it's an oldish game, but it seems very, very outdated. MotorStorm is simply a load of crap. 8 tracks?
Oh,
wow. I'd raced on all of them after the first hour or so, and the rest of the game seems to be doing the same races over and over and over and over in different vehicles. Also, the rubber band gameplay drives me insane. Why do games do that? Oh, yeah. I also have Grand Theft Auto 4, so who gives a fuck about any other game? Right. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Chris.
I got a huge sensation of deja vu when you were reading that.
Yeah, I did too.
No, that's,
did we read that last week?
No, we didn't read that one last week.
Then why do I know that? Because I was going to say, don't even bother with Spider-Man 3. Like, eh. Because I thought we had this conversation before.
We did. I think someone else listed that they had Spider-Man 3 on their backlog.
That's surreal.
Yeah. Weird.
What are the odds?
Weird. The and hell? I remember MotorStorm 2, and I was like, yeah. MotorStorm's a good game. But I agree, though. It is very limited, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Try the multiplayer. That's where it's at. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Single player, not so much.
Yeah. I do like Unreal Tournament 3 a lot, for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I really like it after the, you know, got the action cam thing, the third-person mode. But that's just how I like, you know, shooters. It's a fun pickup kind of play. I don't think you really need to, like, have it in your backlog because there's no real sense in going through the campaign mode, I guess. But,
no.
I don't know. There's other games out there. Grand Theft Auto 4.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. There you go. And to answer your question, we just mentioned it a while ago, but Riddick, the... Escape from Butcher Bay is awesome. It's not necessarily based on the Chronicles of Riddick game, but it's kind of it's a prequel, and it came out roughly around the same time, I'm pretty sure. But it was amazing. In fact, a lot better than the movie.
Oh, you were asking about the movie games. Okay. I'm like, where is he going with this?
No, because he said his one is the last game that was made after a movie.
Yeah, you're right.
Good game.
I have one more email. This one's from, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Decoy, I think. Like D-K-O-Y. Decoy, yeah. Probably Decoy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Decoy.
He writes, "Hey, Andis, sadly, I have a pile of shame that I fear I may never get around to finishing. The ones that are most shameful to me, not because I haven't played them, but because I haven't finished them, are Shadow of the Colossus, Final Fantasy XII, Metal Gear Solid III, Okami, Kingdom Hearts, and Zelda Phantom Hourglass. So you want to know why? Well, they say it comes in threes. Disaster, that is. A few years ago, I just bought a Nissan 300ZX. I had it a few days before my friend's dad literally and mistakenly backed his truck up over the hood. Ouch. The following morning, while driving my family from Connecticut to New York, an old man mistook the Route 15 on-ramp for Main Street and got on the highway going the wrong way. It was the first head-on collision that did not result in a fatality in years, according to the police. A few days later, my house burned down due to an electrical fire. Game Boy survived. Most of these titles came out near or around the time of the fire, and the year or so of dealing with insurance afterwards. Allstate sucks. Being systemless and knowing the PS3 was soon to be announced, I decided to wait. This set up a backlog of games that I needed to play. Poor guy. Anyway.
Yeah, that's bad.
A little bit more. I work roughly 9 to 5 as a senior art director. The occasional week of late nights can really destroy your gaming time. Yes, it can. My girlfriend is also an outdoors person, which doesn't play well into the 60-plus hour games. Not to mention we live together. I also have a bunch of other hobbies like art, design, cars. I have a 350Z now. Comic books and movies. The latest addition to my distraction from games is that my girlfriend is addicted to pixel junk monsters on Core as well, and takes up a good chunk of my PS3's time. So, there you have it. Fire started the dam, and now work, love, and hobbies stop me from catching up. Not to mention the multiplayer game's ability to suck all the time away and the continuing release of great games to play. Signed, Decoy. Poor guy. We should start like a fund for him.
That was
no kidding, eh? Get those games back. But Decoy, he played with you guys on Warhawk last night, I think.
Yep, yeah, he's from. Yeah. What the hell is the name of that site?
We Play This. WePlayThis.com.
We Play This. There we go. Mm-hmm. Which is currently in beta right now, and one of us got on. I think I got on there and set up like an Indus group. And he actually checked out the show, eventually found VG Evo, signed up there. Now he's playing Warhawk with us and shit, so. It's all come full circle. Stuff.
We're branching out.
Yeah. But damn, he lost all that shit.
That's got to suck. And got to suck for time, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm all depressed.
Can't even imagine my backlog. I know.
I can't go on, Chris. You take the show. I'm done.
You're done?
You're done.
Well, for tonight.
Well, what we've been trying to do for the last couple of weeks is we wanted to, Jason and I have been hitting the Phantasy Star Collection pretty hard since it came out last month. So we wanted to talk about Phantasy Star. And I got an email from Sigma that leads us directly into, you know, what we want to talk about next week.
It's like an old email.
Yeah, it's this email came almost a month ago. It was on May 6th that he sent this email.
Cool.
So here's what he has to say. Hello, distracted podcasters.
Hello.
You guys keep talking Phantasy Star this, Phantasy Star that. I have purchased a while back the Phantasy Star collection for GBA. I was wondering which order I should play them in, 1 through 4. I did save my story for Phantasy Star 4 for last. At the Too Many Games convention, I was looking for a certain game, and all of a sudden I came across a copy of Phantasy Star 4 for the Sega Genesis. Since I bought the system, there, and how you guys keep talking about it, I bought it for a mere $7 or $10.
Nice.
For Phantasy Star 4 on Genesis. That is
awesome.
Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to play it, and keep up the good work with the podcast. Let's see. And he has a couple postscripts in here. P.S. If you're looking for a good RPG right now, you can find a copy. If you can find a copy, I highly recommend playing Shadow Hearts from the New World. I am playing that right now, and it has a really good story. P.P.S. Sorry for the long email. I hope you survived. I think I did. I tripped over myself a couple times because I like to read faster than I talk.
P.P.P.S. So. I mean it. I'm sorry. P.P.P.P.P.S.
Yeah, no, like for real. This time.
I'm sorry.
Well, I don't know, Jason, what you think about the order of the Phantasy Stars that he should play. But actually, I think we should save that until next week because I think we're going to talk about Phantasy Star next week.
I think we are.
I can't wait.
No, not you. You're not part of this party.
Why? Boo.
You don't even like Phantasy Star.
What? I love Phantasy Star. I love Cloud.
That's it. You're fired. So our question of the week is one of those open-ended questions again. It's just Phantasy Star? Because we really don't have a question for it. We want to know, those of you out there who have played Phantasy Star, tell us about, you know, what you think of the series, what you thought of where it went after the Genesis. Anything you want to tell us about Phantasy Star, let us know. This is going to be our first endeavor in the Revisiting the Classics series that we wanted to do. We've been wanting to do this for a long time. So yeah. This turns out to be the perfect time. And Sigma, we will answer your question for us next week on the podcast.
I look forward to it. Yeah, it does sound good, Chris.
All right. Well, so question of the week is just Phantasy Star. And you can answer the question of the week via email by hitting email at interactivedistractions.com. You can also get us on our voicemail line, which Ricky Duty did this week. Thank you very much, Ricky.
Yay.
And that number is 818-528-GAME, 818-528-4263. You can get us on Skype, Interactive Distractions, all one word.
All lowercase.
Google Talk, interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Don't forget to visit us at VG Evo. We have a forum there. There's a big shout box. Glenn and Jeff like to get into arguments about Hayes on the shout box, apparently, so that should be interesting. And
Discussions.
And don't forget Warhawk Wednesdays. We had a very successful Warhawk Wednesday last night, and it was great fun. So, yeah, that's everything.
Well, if you're so chummy with Glenn, Jeff, why don't you just go over to their show?
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll do that. Assholes.
All righty. So we're going to end this show now before there's a fight. Do you guys have anything besides yelling at each other that you want to say?
Not yelling. We're discussing loudly.
Right. I'm sorry, Jeff. I'll keep that in mind.
Warhawk Wednesday. Everybody work on your backlog. And that's all I got.
Yeah, backlog. Backlog is on Tuesday for me.
Backlog is important. I got to pick a day.
Yeah. And check out the new backlog forum, Collecting Dust on VG Evo. There's actually a lot of people in there posting their stuff, so it worked out pretty well.
Parts are good.
And thank you guys for that. All right, cool. Well, that's all I got. So we thank you guys for hanging out through this long and drawn out and probably
painful
show.
Sorry for the crappy show.
Come back next week, and we'll be talking about Phantasy Star. Until then, my name is Chris, and for Jason and Jeff, thanks a lot.
And thank you.
What, now you want me to say something?
Now you let me talk, Chris.